Brothers and sisters, the greatest blessing you can have in your entire life as a Christian is for you to know that God has spoken to you, that God has identified you, that God has aimed His glory, His plan, His purpose, His love, His faithfulness, His hedge around your life, because He's speaking to you. He knows you. He calls you by name. There is no greater reward you'll ever experience. The speaking voice of God is yours to be had. I don't know why anyone wouldn't pay the price to have this. To be known by God, to have Him manifest Himself to you. It's true. Don't take my word for it. Read the books of the greats. They all got where they got. They all did what they did because God spoke to them. Water break. It is absolutely beautiful out here. I could not ask for a more beautiful day, a more lovely place to be, I don't think, in the world, to be hiking, to enjoy the kind of beauty that you will see with me as we make this journey. It is a picture of the stage that I'd like to talk to you about now, and that is recognizing that as a Christian, you are going to enjoy blessings from God, that people who do not make this sacrifice and do not make this journey, people who do not go all the way with Jesus Christ, will never experience, not in this life or in the life to come.
Another thing, you know, that God used, it was very difficult when we lost the baby. We were not expecting that, you know, at all. God was showing us, to me, He was showing me the lion's den. I keep seeing it all week. And then the day that that happened, a video popped out of my phone. It was the fiery furnace. Mm-hmm. And then for you was...
It happened on a Friday that we lost the baby. And earlier that week, I had watched two movies that week, and I normally don't just sit down and watch something, but I did that week, and one was the story about Corrie ten Boom, Sister Says, but it's something about, like, no matter how dark and how deep you are, God is there with you, and that just really hit me that time, and I've watched it a few times, and it just really struck me, and then the other one was the movie about John Wesley, and they were sailing from Europe to America. They were kind of picking on each other on the boat because his brother had gotten sick, and John said to his brother, it's like, take heart, Charlie, it's through suffering that you come to know Christ. Mm-hmm. And then it just hit me. As soon as we found out we had lost the baby on Friday, I'm like, I think God was kind of like almost warning me, like, this is going to happen, but I'm going to be with you in it.
Today is May 29th, 2019, and up came this book called Suffering is Never for No Reason. She has been married 3 times. When they get the diagnosis, she's so upset, and she kind of goes to God and she's like, God, we've already been through this once. I've already lost one husband, Lord. Are you going to allow me to go through this again? I was sitting there listening to this going, my goodness, it sounds like my journal recordings. God, I've already been through this once, being left by an unbeliever. Are you going to allow this to happen again? And I thought to myself, I said, you know what? It was God's will to take away two of her husbands. It was God's will so far to take away one of mine, and very well could be that He's going to take away this second. And I guess I shouldn't be so quick to say, I'll never marry again. I see this as a providence that in all likelihood she is going to go. In fact, I just put up the recording yesterday about how I was seeing these providences of God that show she was going to go. And now this is like another providence. You know, here I'm listening. It's just remarkable how this book just came out. And so right now I have no idea what's going to happen with Persis. I have no idea if God is going to turn this romantic story into an amazing resurrection story, bring life back to her, or if He's going to allow me to experience the loss of a second wife. And maybe He's got a third wife for me that I'm not aware of, and that I will have a blessed long union.
The moment we step in the hospital, everything just flipped. Mm-hmm. Like, I look at Angel and I start noticing, like, she's just so calm. And then I look at myself and I feel so calm. And so then I'm just kind of waiting. I'm like, I know this is God, you know. And he started showing us a number as we were at the hospital, passage in Daniel. I didn't know at that point what the number was, but everything started happening and, you know, people started coming in. Like, they brought you guys want us to bring this group to pray for you guys? And so we just told them, like, no, thank you. We trust God. You know, he gives and he determines, you know, so we just trust him. And, but it was very also like a shocking to see how God enables you, you know, because they were all looking at us. It was such a weird experience because everyone just keep staring at us, kind of like waiting to hold us, like
waiting for us to kind of melt.
And it was go so into weird. And I mean, it was incredible because then we went out of the hospital and literally went back to normal.
Like the pain was there, but it like couldn't come out.
It was so
like,
weird.
It was kind of like covered with grace.
It was like grace was like overpowering. It's like you felt something deep inside, like this thing, but it's almost like it couldn't scream because there was this thing on top so powerful that it could not. I mean, and we just went back to normal and then God gave us the meaning of the number I was seeing, which is the passage when Nebuchadnezzar says, like, oh, weren't three thrown into the furnace? How is it there's four? And they are unbound and unharmed. And God help us see, because that's what was happening at the hospital with this passage. God help us see, like, everyone was just looking at us like, didn't you guys just lose the baby? And you guys are like, so
everyone's just staring at the flames.
Like, yeah. And we were unharmed. You know, the same with the story of Daniel. We were at first, like, I was thinking about the flames and when I was, you know, seeing the stories. But we didn't think that Jesus was right there providing the grace. So it was just amazing.
There's an awful lot of suffering in this journey. Perhaps you've already gathered that and you're going to see a lot more as we go. In fact, as we get farther up the mountain, we're going to talk about the sufferings that are unique to Christians that other people in the world don't have to face. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you basically sign up to have unique sufferings, a lot of which come out of spiritual warfare, but probably even more so come out of the fact that by very nature of being a Christian, it means that you have to deny yourself. Denying yourself is guaranteed nonstop, 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week suffering, and it can't be done apart from the enabling grace of Christ. So we're going to talk more about that when we get up higher. But right now, I want us to reflect on, why are we doing this? Is it worth it? What is the reward? I mean, obviously, we believe that by suffering like this to do the Lord's will, by turning away from our old life, clothing ourselves in the newness of life in Christ, losing our life and hating our life in this world, we will gain eternal life in the life to come. But are there any blessings for us now to kind of like hold us over like an appetizer, if you will, at a good meal when you're starving and you're like, hey, mom or hey, wife, can I just have a little pinch off of that or a little snack, something to hold you over until, you know, the main course comes? Yes, there is. There are many unbelievable blessings that come for those who will reject chairlift Christianity, those who will reject atheism, those who will reject the counterfeit Christianity, a counterfeit Jesus, a counterfeit spirit, a counterfeit gospel, those who will reject lying to themselves about how, you know, easy it is to be a Christian, and who will take up their cross and deny themselves and follow Christ in his path, in his teachings, in his example that has also then been lived out by so many who've come before us. There are innumerable numbers of blessings. I couldn't actually name them all, but I can tell you, you will be able to experience the presence of God, having him manifest himself. John 14, 21 through 23, him and Jesus both promised that if you put their teachings into practice, that meant that you loved them. If you loved them, you would obey them. And that if you obeyed them, they will manifest themselves to you. One time in the wilderness, not nearly as beautiful as this, in Huntsville, Alabama, I had the presence of God manifest himself to me in my spirit in a way that was so incredible, so indescribable, that I felt like I was going to fall down on the trail. I was all alone, just like I am now, but I found myself having to hold myself up, leaning forward, pushing weight on my knees to feel like I was going to collapse under the glory or whatever this manifestation I was having was of God. It was incredible.
One day, God sent me to the mountain in Costa Rica. I was so tired. I was exhausted for multiple things that were happening. I was driving. I was falling asleep. And I started seeing 99. It was dark. It was at like 9 p.m. I'm like, oh God, are you asking me to go to the mountain? I come home and I'm like, okay, God, give me a sign. And I'm falling asleep. My body's like, I cannot even do anything. And my brother changed the channel. And there is this giant 99.9. And I actually felt kind of like grumpy, if you will, because I was like, God, I'm so tired. So I put my boots and I went to the mountain and it was dark. The moon was shining. I was actually crying because of how exhausted I was. And I just told God, I'll go. And that was one of the greatest moments I have ever had. I cannot even explain. The moon was giving me the light and I sat down. I was exhausted. I was like, God, I'm here. But I started praying. And everything just like changed. I was coming with like the mind heaviness in multiple things that were happening. And everything changed. It was like if everything disappeared and God spoke. And because I started walking, I actually woke up after being so tired. And I'm like, God, what is this? This is like, I cannot explain, I wish. And I started asking, what is this? What is this? And he spoke to my spirit. I know. And he said, the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Jesus Christ. So I didn't want to come back. It was incredible. It was at night. I was in the mountain. I didn't want to go back home. I actually wanted to stay. It was kind of like, I don't want to go away from your presence and go back to the world. I want to stay here where I am. And it was the most beautiful thing. So
now, brothers and sisters, that was very much a singular manifestation. But there have been so many other ways that God has made this such a rich experience, such a rewarding experience. Yes, there's lots of pain. Yes, there's lots of struggle. Yes, there's lots of suffering. We're going to talk even more about that. That's part of it. Jesus never lied to anyone about how difficult it was to be a Christian. We talked about it, counting the cost at the very beginning. And it is costly. But let's remember, above all things, if God never manifested himself to us, if God never gave us any good things, and it was just nonstop suffering and murderous against our feelings the whole time, we believe by faith in the end, it's all worth it because we gain eternal life, that this life we're passing through, can you honestly say much of it, if you're honest, is worth being here? I loathe the life is good bumper stickers and tire covers that I see on the back of Jeeps. Life is not good. Life is terrible, and it's going to get worse. But there are so many blessings. You get to actually hear from God. He will speak to you.
And also during the summertime, God showed me the story of Laban and Jacob, where he said, basically prophesied that our marriage will end up at the 21-year mark. And we were 20 years together back when he was moving out.
We didn't have a school for my daughter. And Jesus gave me a promise for my daughter's school.
My eyes, I was pretty much cross-eyed all the time. So I was holding my finger up like this, trying to get my eyes to focus. And I heard him speak to me, I'm the only one that you need to focus on right now.
He will manifest himself to you. The word of God will come alive to you as if you think it was written directly for you.
And then God showed us Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still.
You will sit in the morning time. And sometimes the word of God just comes off the page alive to you. Again, like the only person it was ever written for was you. Or sometimes you'll read a passage that you've read many times, years past, and you read it today and it's as if it was wrapped in neon lights, alive with fresh new anointing, speaking to you, the word of God speaking to you.
We started praying about it, and again, every scripture I looked at, and even scripture that he looked at, it was a hard no. And so I'm I told him, I said, I believe I already got my answer. He's like, yep. Yeah. He said, God's saying hard no. And I said, yes, I agree.
You will likely experience God manifesting himself to you in a multitude of different ways, which we won't get into for this video. Remembering that this journey that we're going on is just to cover the basics, just to kind of paint a picture of what some of the stages in the journey look like. So you can decide whether or not this is even worth it for you to go on the journey to begin with. This is not by any means the complete. It doesn't cover every stage. It doesn't cover every principle. It is just painting with a broad brush, reflecting on my own experience, what the Bible teaches us, and what many others have testified to be core tenets, core experiences, fundamentals of what it means to walk by faith with Jesus Christ. When I look down in my life, I can see so many difficult things on this rail, so many hardships, so many losses, so many reversals, so many perplexities, so many things that would make me want to quit and often did make me want to quit on my faith in Christ. But brothers and sisters, just as true as the Word of God is, just as faithful as our God of the Bible is, I can look on this rail and I can look a long way back and I can see comfort after comfort after comfort after comfort after comfort after comfort. You will hear God speaking to you. Court is starting right now. So they will have just called my name right now in court in Huntsville, and we're here because God told us to.
And all these kind of things.
Brothers and sisters, do you see now how the Lord has vindicated me, that I broke the law having heard from God, that God told me don't go, told us to stay put in Cape Canaveral? Can you see now how with a little time, God vindicates this servant? I remember saying, wow, it's always emotional when I think about it. I remember saying to Father one time, even in the midst of terrible suffering in the wilderness, I said, Father, as long as you don't take away your speaking voice from me, I will be okay and I will go wherever you want me to go. I will do whatever you want me to do. And how do I wish that you could see, like, the view I have right now, how unbelievably blue the sky is here. It's the bluest sky I've ever seen in my life. It's like it looks fake. It's just incredible. I digress, but I'm so thankful to Father for giving me this beautiful weather to come share these lessons with you in this beautiful place. I tell you, blue sky is part of your experience with Jesus. But back to that point, I was in the woods and I said, Father, I could almost go, I think, anywhere. I could go to India if you wanted me to and live in North India and be persecuted. I could go to Africa. I could lose this. I could be single. I could do that. I could do anything you want me to do as long as you don't take away your speaking voice. It's like how I know God is with me. That's how I know I'm known by God. It's that sense of my voice to my twin Ashley, who I lost through parental alienation. But you perhaps have seen that story where she's freaking out. Is Ashley doing okay? She got a lot of fluid on her?
She got a lot of fluid in her. She needs help today out.
Okay.
You got the weight.
Okay, come here, Dad.
You gonna be okay? You gonna be okay? Yeah? You like the sound of your daddy's voice? Makes you feel calm? Yeah? I'm here. Everything's gonna be just fine. You look terrific. You're a little dirty. You look like you've been playing in the mud, but you're a little... You're looking perfect. Yeah. Girl. Brothers and sisters, the greatest blessing you can have in your entire life as a Christian is for you to know that God has spoken to you, that God has identified you, that God has aimed his glory, his plan, his purpose, his love, his faithfulness, his hedge around your life because he's speaking to you. He knows you. He calls you by name. There is no greater reward you'll ever experience, not being fruitful, not getting over anything that you get over in life, not the neat supernatural manifestations you may see, not the rich, unexpected blessings. No, the speaking voice of God is yours to be had. I don't know why anyone wouldn't pay the price to have this. To be known by God, to have Him manifest Himself to you. It's true. Don't take my word for it. Read the books of the greats. They all got where they got. They all did what they did because God spoke to them. All of a sudden, I become aware that I'm seeing the number 666 showing up a lot in my life. It started to show up everywhere. The day I married her, I'm convinced something happened to her when she was a child. And look at there, right there, 666, right while I'm filming this. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Brothers and sisters, to see God use you.
Your story is having an effect on my life right now. Yesterday, as I left work, I really wanted to say goodbye to this world, and I had the same anger you felt with God. My entire life, I've leaned on God, but I began questioning His love. I actually chose to stop praying. I cannot tell you what prompted me to Google losing everything. This is the name of my story, losing everything to find it all. I watched your videos yesterday, and I prayed to God last night. Every single thing you said in your videos, every single Bible reference made me feel like God is talking to me and this message is for me. I thank God for coordinating this in your life as it has reached me. I want to thank you as well and make you aware of its effect. Much like your situation with your wife, my husband betrayed me in the worst possible way. My husband committed suicide, but he tried to kill me first. After everything was over and she got through this, a male classmate of mine took it upon himself to be by my side. He was quite convincing to myself and my family. My mother really took to him, and she actually thought he and I would be a good fit. He portrayed to be a godly person, taking me to church every Sunday. Soon after my husband's death, I found myself attending church with this individual and studying late into the night for our tests. One evening, I went to his home and he asked me to leave. He was very frantic. I kept asking why. His reply was, "I don't want you to see what I'm about to do." I called the police and I found myself assisting a negotiator for the next 11 hours as the SWAT team surrounded his home. My friend ultimately committed suicide. I have experienced this unreal sense twice in 1 year, and that is why your story has helped me. I watched your backstory last night and I was floored. I was so elated to see where you are at now in your life. It gives me hope and happiness because if someone else on this earth can endure, perhaps I can too. Of course, the key is God, and I'm sure you and I both agree on that. And she found freedom from unthinkable acts that have been committed against her through forgiveness. Guys, this is 2 months later that I'm getting ready to read this next email. 2 months later. I'm smiling, exclamation mark. Mark, I haven't smiled in many months. I remember when my mother asked how I was feeling, and I said, "I think I'm doing better, Mom. I actually enjoyed the smell of my shampoo today." Isn't that sweet? I began to realize how broken down the devil was making me and how infantile I had been at this point. Now, 30 years old, I'm building myself back up from the events that were incredibly out of my control. But I want to remind you of your impact. You catapulted me back into life, Michael. To God be the glory. This is not me. I'm reading you her words, but this is not me. This is Jesus Christ that did this. I know I'm just one single person that came across your story, but I credit you for waking me up from my drunken stupor and helping me realize that I can wake up tomorrow and be alive and love God and actually be happy. I felt the need to message you and let you know that you've had more impact on my life than you realize. Since seeing your story and coming into contact, I have prayed every day several times throughout the day and always go to God when I begin to feel a little down. I started to run again even. I have found a new group of friends who are spiritual. I go to God about everything. Do you remember how angry and how sad I was with God when I first emailed you? I didn't even want to pray anymore. And now I have a relationship with Him that brings tears to my eyes, and I love Him so much. And guess who helped me get back there? You.
to see that God has a plan to connect you at just the right time, at the right place to other people, to be a blessing to them. This is a blessing unique to Christians. The first night the story video went live back in December of 2012, God honored that story and that work by saving the life of Jeremiah Turner from his second suicide attempt. You woke up in the morning.
It was exactly what I needed to see.
You remember that moment, man?
Yeah, I remember that moment.
What I was praying to God at that time was, please get me home. At least get me home. I was praying. And then I looked up, and there's Michael. And we have never once...
And not
met
only that,
at that Starbucks,
never once in 2 years. Never once in 2 years.
Never once in,
is God good or
that's
what?
That's just... It,
this
it's
is
incredible.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
I mean, two years ago, you and I had this divine encounter.
I know.
Outside of Starbucks.
I know.
God just blesses the moment, leads you into forgiveness that has been life-changing
to
you.
It has been.
Really, I believe that God led me to your channel. It popped up. I was laying flat on my back. So much pain. And we appreciate so much all your long hours that you put into this. I know it was very difficult for you.
There are so many things to see God come through for you in answer to your faith over and over and over.
He alone helped me, and it was a true miracle that was all the chaos around me and destruction, and now being in this utterly hopeless situation, and the war was increasing, like it was a full-scale war, but it kept reaching more and more and more areas. But God kept me through it. He kept me through the fire. It's like when we are in a house and then a fire breaks out, it would drive us to go to somewhere cooler to escape the house. So it's the same with me. It was like truly a fire. And it drove me to God. It kept driving me to God over and over and over again to rely on Him, to have His grace. For His help, for just everything. For He gave me hope and encouragement, and He helped me. He sustained me. It was only by His grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, yes, it was like a fire.
Father, do I need to do anything to defend myself coming up in court on November 12th? So we get out of the car. We look right over here. First thing I see, 777. That's a reminder of the victory in court. We go to check out, and Tyler goes, Dad, it's 555. That's I will deliver you. And we go to return the blinds, and I get the receipt. It's 1414. Immediately, I think, Exodus 1414. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to stand. So here we are right now. God has just answered the prayer, and now I know I don't have to do anything to defend myself. Tyler and I are going to just go down, face the accusations, and God will defend us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ, who is faithful as always. It's now 3:24 p.m. Tyler and I are having a celebratory dinner. God had told me through Exodus 14:14 that the Lord would fight for me and I need only stand. So here again, the judge worked on my behalf and I did not have to defend myself. It's absolutely amazing. It's the exact word of God. But look at all the other times. Think of the videos of me in Cocoa Beach where the Lord says, don't even reply to her contempt for emotion. Mm-hmm. Sit still. The Lord will fight for you. You need do nothing.
So it's about 1 p.m. on Saturday, November 18th. Our order is $14.14.
And we go to return the blinds. And I get the receipt. It's 1414. Immediately, I think, Exodus 1414. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to stand. So here we
go. And you see me and Lisa sitting on the beach taking this huge risk. I've got the Alabama arrest warrant, and God's telling me not to even reply.
So we couldn't have gotten a more providential confirmation, just like at the coffee shop the other day with the 1414, to say, stay put.
To her huge 46-page contempt. Well, what happens? He completely shuts it down on 1-3-2024. It had been exactly 14 years to the day.
Hello, Carrie. It's about 6 p.m. on Friday night, January 5th. Today is the day that we both received notification that your second
and I would say most robust attempt at getting me committed for civil contempt in the court has been totally, utterly dismissed. I'd like to remind you that every single thing up to this day that you've tried to get filed against me, whether it be contempt or whether it be kidnapping charges or abuse and harassment charges or failure to pay child support for 10 plus years, I'd like for you to just simply take a look at the fact that nothing that you have petitioned the court for has ever come to pass because it's not based on truth.
One of the great blessings that God promises to us is vindication from our enemies. In 14 years of public ministry, there have been no one else besides these two people that represent the greatest attack of Satan on this ministry. I suffered a tremendous amount along with all of their hearers through these two people and Satan's use of them. But after several years of waiting patiently on God without me having to do anything, the time came when he did exactly what he promises to do for both you and me all over his word, to one day in his perfect timing, vindicate us and bring our enemies into public shame. The next morning, I wake up and I suddenly become conscious of the fact that God has struck several people in Carrie's life who participated, and they're evil with me. Is this just a coincidence, Carrie?
Our lives have been destroyed.
Carrie's attorney, Carrie's dad, Carrie's lover, all of them done evil to me, and all of them have been struck exactly like the Word of God said. In like manner, we find the evils done to God's people have been repaid by a just retribution to their enemies. Then there are all the financial blessings from our faithful God who promises if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be given to us.
I think of George Mueller, who was asked, well, George, how are you not in a fit and then tied in knots of stress, constantly worried about your finances when you don't tell anybody about your financial needs? Doesn't this lead to you even focusing more on the money and focusing more on the need and on the want, etc.? He says, on the contrary, by me making my needs known only to God, I get to see continually regular, fresh manifestations of the provision of the mercy of God to me in answer to my prayers.
I have asked the Lord to provide the resources, which I do not have right now, without asking any human being. I'm asking only my Father, just like I always do.
This is just a quick journal entry to praise God. This has never happened before, and 13 books went out yesterday, and 7 books went out today. I'm just so thankful. I see the Father fulfilling all these promises that he spoke to me.
That same week, Jared left a $500 cash donation towards the India trip. And I said, brother, you didn't do that out of emotional manipulation, did you? Because I feel bad. I even told you now. And he said, absolutely not. He said, I had put the money in the envelope before I even came to your house. Now, the video work that Doug was going to hire me to do wasn't going to be nearly enough to pay for this entire shell of a tiny house that was very expensive. God moved on a man's heart in Canada to purchase 100 John 7:17 challenge books.
So we start with the answered prayers. I think one of the most recent ones that was really helpful for us was the when we didn't have money, right? We were doing our budget, and we always, all these years, God has always provided for us. Mm-hmm. But that one time, it was the first time that we noticed we were taking out of our savings real quick. Mm-hmm. And when we did our budgeting, we saw that the bit, you know, just the house, utilities, food.
Yeah. We were not monthly bills. Like,
yeah, we were not making enough. So then right away we started praying, oh God, you know, like, I mean, we feel pressure, you know, and we're just like, God, we need, you know, help, you know, I mean, we'll keep taking out of savings until, you know, like, yeah, which it would have been very soon. So, and then we started praying. We prayed for like 2 days. And then I think it was Saturday, I think. And then I think Monday I went back to the office and my manager said, hey, Leo, he sent me a private message and he said, hey, I've been asking for this and I finally got your a race for you. And I just couldn't. I mean, I was so excited. I texted Angel. Angel was so excited just because, you know, it was God. You know, they don't know anything. And it was very incredible how he provided for us. They even gave us more than what we needed, right?
Brothers and sisters, when you're walking with God by faith, when you've taken the sacrifice to count the cost, when you've made the surrender, when you've gone through radical obedience, when you're willing to go through spiritual warfare, when you're willing to be a wanderer in the wilderness, when you're willing to take up your cross and to deny yourself and to live a life of faith, you're going to have clear, unambiguous answers to prayer.
Whenever you go through customs, like whenever he's been to the States, he's always been like pulled aside and interrogated for like an hour. I always ask a million questions, stuff like that. So then I'm just like sitting there, like done praying, and like I get a text from Leo like 2 minutes after he just texted me, like, hey, I'm through. Like through customs or through what? He's like, I'm through customs, I'm in. Like it was a miracle, a legit miracle. You and he's like beaming, like that was so God, and God went before us and just did it. So yeah, then we got married.
You're going to have the speaking voice of God. You're going to have an anointing in your heart. When you hear the word of God, it will make sense to you. You're going to see God connect your life to the Bible, your Bible to the life.
You know, God was feeding me, and I can't pinpoint to any specific messages because they always seem to be showing up in a very random order for whatever I needed at the time.
You're going to have a living, breathing experience where you, when you read the Bible, you say to yourself, my goodness gracious, exactly what just happened to Joshua, to Moses, to Joseph, to David, to you name it, to Hannah, to Sarah, to Esther. This exact thing has happened to me, or I can relate to what she's just gone through because God has opened my eyes. You will have spiritual blessing upon blessing upon blessing. The opening of your eyes to see this world the way it is, that it's all passing. The world and its desires are passing away, but the man who does the will of God shall live forever. You will have spiritual eyesight. This is a blessing that the rest of the world do not have. They are blind to the kingdom of God.
I'm hopeful for the future. You know, this period of time was very valuable, where I've learned about his grace. Many times there were situations where I had to go to work and I had no strength and I felt terrible physically and mentally. I said, God, I need your help. I need your help, you know, to work through what I need to do and go home. And he did. He also brought customers to my apartment, which were fantastic people. And, you know, they never messed anything up and they were very gentle. They didn't make a mess and didn't destroy anything. So he was extremely gracious in that area. And also, you know, he provided those customers even during the months, winter months, when it's usually quiet for me to have an income. So he was extremely gracious in everything, you know, that he promised to keep me and financially and mentally supportive. He was bringing things to me to build me up because I had no strength to study the word. Only when he lifted me up in February, I was able to go back to the word, and I'm still in it.
You will be able to have feet on the ground and you will have your heart and your head fastened safely in heaven, and God will continually manifest himself to you. I challenge you to find a better deal anywhere in the world where you bring absolutely nothing to the job except for a vehicle, a vessel. God then gives you this thing called grace after he forgives you for being completely worthless, wretched rebel. And then he sets you off and he begins to manifest himself to you, not because you did anything to merit it, not because you had any favor in yourself, but because of his unbelievable, indescribable, totally not understandable love and mercy for your life. He begins to send power, grace into your life. He begins to manifest himself to you. He begins to use you to make you fruitful. He begins to give you a sense of purpose. There is no greater thing that the human being needs than a sense of purpose. If you have a heavenly blessing, if you're a Christian, you have a heavenly purpose that will speak and echo and last forever. Now, I don't want to keep going on this stage, but I just want to remind you that I can sit here today, 36 years of calling myself a Christian, 16 years after a full surrender, and tell you that as much as I've suffered, I can't count the blessings. I have no way of putting into this video the depth. I have no way of painting a picture to you how good God has been to my wife and I, even just in the last 4 years, allowing us to suffer much, but comforting us so much.
Mm-hmm. The cheapest rental car we could find, the cheapest accommodations we could have find. The Lord had us here. It wasn't our choice. And here we are down to $500 or less in my checking accounts. That's how little, that's how our financial situation was. Mm-hmm. And by the time the prayer's over, I'm thanking the Lord mm-hmm. for him hearing my prayer. And I said, God, I thank you.
Thank you that it's on its way. Thank you that you've prepared. Thank you that you've blessed someone else, Lord, with some extra to bless us materially as they have been blessed spiritually. Mm. Thank you, Father.
And I told Lisa, he's heard our prayer, he's answered, okay? Mm. 7 days later, on November 5th, 2024, we receive a notification that the Lord had moved on one of our longtime followers to give us $40,000 US. We were just, as you can imagine, amazed. This was now the second $40,000 answer to prayer that we had received mm-hmm. since just God put she and I together.
Yeah.
It had been exactly since we received this $40,000, 5 months and 5 days, part of the Mark 8 timing, since I put out the video, Though He Slay Me. And it had been 7 months and 7 days since we sat down and put out that video of she and I with her crying at the end, at that Satan's reaction to the Kelly Slater video, the climax of our suffering. And it had been exactly 12 months to the day since my Alabama arrest warrant was issued. Then it was exactly 777 days since Taylor posted her wicked video against me. Look at God's unbelievable timing. Once again, continuing. All this hard work that I've been doing for all these years, and yet just watching the support dwindle to nothing, and suddenly God saying, I'm going to recompense you for that. You're not serving men, you're serving me. I'm going to take care of you. Remember this for you, brothers and sisters.
You cannot fail trusting God. You will not. He has not forgotten you. He will not forget you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you have been given a John 3:27, a man can only receive that which is given him from heaven, faith, then you can believe that and you can walk down this trail with me with confidence. You can walk up to the top of that mountain with me with confidence. And it's time for us to go. It's time for us to hit the next stage. May God bless us and give us insight and keep us in his rich, beautiful grace all the way to the top. Come on, let's hit it. You're on a path to fullness in Christ. It is the highest pleasure he has to see you and I conformed into his image, to see you and I live by faith. This is real. These parables that Jesus gave us, this parable of this climbing the mountain, he had me do this for a reason. It's real. Jesus' grace is real. Faith is real. Mountaintop faith is real. Mountain moving faith is real. Sanctification is real. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin is real. Being a slave to righteousness is real. Moving out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, living a life of the law of the Spirit in love is real. These things are all real, brothers and sisters, but we have to perceive that they are there by faith, and we have to go after them and believe that they are real. This is faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see.